true. And the more you do it, you know what the first question you're going to get is? Why are you so different? Don't have to raise your hands because I don't want you to be embarrassed, but how many have ever gotten that question? Why are you singing all the time? What are those songs you're singing? Why are you so happy? What's wrong with you? Well, you know what you're doing? You're exposing the darkness by the light that is inside you. By being good, the rest of the janitors at work won't like you. You make us look bad. I got to do my job the right way. See, when they see the way that, when we do away with the notion that we can pick and choose our times to shine the light, and we just start shining the light always, man will never know what his need of the light is until you start showing them and redirecting the way that they're going. Are some people going to be angry with you when you shine the light? When you act like a believer should act? Are they? Yes. But I would say more times than not, people are going to wonder what's wrong with you, or how can I be like you, or what's the difference? And that's your step in. I've always found it that if I was a lazy worker and someone asked me about church, I had no place to talk about church. If I couldn't be the light in a workplace, then I have no responsibility sharing with them Jesus Christ, because all they're going to look at is how I worked, how I responded. When things went wrong, what did I say? One more thing. Let's not be the church that's the church lady, right? You guys remember? Remember the church lady? We got that right there? Yeah. How many remember the church lady from Saturday Night Live? Sinner. Just a bunch of sinners. And they're just calling them out, right? Let your light so shine. What Jesus is talking about is live your life the way I've asked you to live it. Your life will show me and illuminate the situation. You bear the torch. Don't hide it. Don't determine when you can flick your torch on. You just be a torch bearer all the time. All right, so the best way I thought to illustrate this, John, can I get you to close that door there? And young people, it's going to get dark in here for just a minute. So, yeah, really, just get it out of the way right now. Just know, parents, that it's going to get dark in here for just a minute. All right? So go ahead, Jeremy. Darken this place. Remember what the text says. Let's go to the next slide, Ben. I'll take that off of there. Maybe not. Okay. You were darkness. This is who you were inside and out. Right? But you're to let your light so shine. See? The light shines in the darkness and reveals. And then another light shines. Someone else join me here. And then another light shines. 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 And as you shine the light, you reveal who Jesus Christ is, and others want to be part of that. Your job is a tough job. Don't get me wrong. Everybody look up here. Your job is a tough job. My job is a tough job because we live surrounded by people that are darkness. And our job is to shine the light of Jesus Christ. All right? Just looking at the text before we go on to the next point. Verse 14 says this. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's kind of like, what are they saying there? Well, it's just a text about salvation. Awake, O sleeper, that's the unsaved, dead in their trespasses. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's the gospel. All right, so now, verse 15. Verse 15, start with this point. Number 3, if I walk in purity, I must embrace my call to wisdom, to walk in wisdom. I must embrace my call to walk in wisdom. If it says this, Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. Look carefully. Now, what Paul is saying here in the Greek is this. Walk like you're in a dangerous place. Ever do that? I have never been to Hocking Hills, but I understand that there are some trails at Hocking Hills that if you take a wrong step, you could really hurt yourself, if not kill yourself. Anybody been there and they could say yes to that? Okay. All right. So a few of you agree with me, even though I've never been there, right? We wouldn't let our kids walk on the edge of the Grand Canyon, right? Just, hey, can I go ride my bike along the edge of the Grand Canyon, Dad? I'm pretty sure that Boaz and Noah would not be allowed to do that without him being there like this. Like, come on, guys, come on. That's the idea here behind look carefully. Now, look carefully is like the fifth command that he's given since we started chapter 5. The fifth strong encouragement, examine yourself, be alert, investigate with great care, look carefully, and make sure you walk as wise and not as unwise. Look carefully at what? How you walk. Because you're headed into a dangerous place and you can be tripped up. The key to walking wise is to know the will of God. That's what the text says. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. Understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. There it is again, the will of the Lord. Walking in the will of the Lord demonstrates that a believer belongs to God. God's basic will, of course, is not a dot out there that you got to go find. I think some of us think that God's will is like an Easter egg, that if I look under enough bushes, I'm going to find it and I know that I'm in the right spot. It's not something you stumble across. It's not something that you have some esoteric vision or some kind of weird dream to get to it. God's will is found in God's word. Okay? Let's just understand that. This is where God's will is found, in his word. For instance, there's five that come to mind. The first one is salvation. First Timothy says that God wills that all would come to a place of salvation. Titus, verse 18 here says that God's will is for us to be spirit-filled. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says that God's will is for us to be sanctified, changing, no longer the same. Of course, the other two will come up here in just a little bit about thankfulness and, of course, submission. So we'll touch on those in just a minute. That leads us to verse 18 in reference to the will of God. Understand, if you want to find the will of God, be in the Word of God. That's where you start, okay? I did have a quote in there that I wanted to read. God doesn't promise us to show us his will by strange coincidences, visions, or miracles. Nor does he play a divine guessing game with us. Be in his word. That leads us to verse 18, and we're going to touch on it. What does it say in verse 18? And do not get drunk with wine, for that is a debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, so let's just talk about it. What we have here in this text are two things in contrast. Okay? Do not be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, before we get too far into this, and I just want to compare and contrast, I want to just make this statement. Everybody look up here. What we are not debating here this morning is the drinking or consumption of alcohol. My wife and I, we have taken the stance that we do not drink. We do not drink because we don't want to be a stumbling block to other people. Right? But you have to search the scripture for yourself. I think God gives us principles. That's a whole other message. What we are debating here this morning, what I am sharing with you is what God's word says, and that is, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be drunk with wine is to be controlled by darkness. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by what? Light. Okay? So we're clear on that, right? Everybody say, we're clear. Clear. All right. So, just a couple things to go back and forth here. To be filled up or drunk with wine, controlled by, is counterfeit happiness. It's clouded judgment. It's done to be happy. To be filled with the Spirit is true happiness. It's a clear picture of life. A couple texts. What does the Bible say on this, Nate, about being drunk with wine? There's surely other verses. There are a lot. Let me share two. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated is not wise. So if we are to walk in wisdom, this is clearly saying if you're intoxicated, not wise. Isaiah 5:11. Boy, I really like this one. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. That's a woe from God to the children of Israel to say, listen, Isaiah 5:11, listen, woe, fool, if this is you, if you get up early to go drinking. I couldn't help when I read that verse think about our 25th wedding anniversary. We went on a cruise, and there's a place where you have to be 21 or older to be. It's like, so all the kids can be in their spot, and all the adults can be in their spot. And if you had kids, you had to be with your kids because your kids couldn't come there. And so we went there, being older than 21. And it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and people are coming around us with buckets. This is 9 o'clock in the morning. Buckets of alcohol. Because this is what they perceived as happiness. And we just were like, let's go get another Diet Coke. Let's go get a coffee. We're not going to be filled up with that. See, the problem here is that our world associates now, catch this, Gabby, because you're going to enter it soon enough. Our world associates, if I have a problem, I need a drink. As you watch TV, watch with filters. As you watch your Netflix, as whatever you watch, watch with filters, because they're thinking, if I have a problem, it is solved by cranking one open, pouring a glass of. That's how they handle life. Or if I'm going to be happy, give me a bottle of wine and I'll be happy in no time. That's what our world has come to. And we realize that we don't need any of that to solve our problems. Where should we go if we have problems? Yeah, the Word of God on our knees. Where should we go when we're happy? Be with the brothers and sisters that Christ had put you with. Praise the Lord for what He's done. Where should we go when we're sad? Is it answered in a bottle or a pack of cigarettes or some other vice that you might think you need? Do not be drunk with wine. It's about control here. The issue is control. Who has it? If you're to walk wise, let the Holy Spirit fill every part of you, every part of your torch-bearing life. What does that mean? To walk wise is not a dramatic, esoteric experience. It's not another extreme stoic. It's not, you know, it's not super happy. It's not just being stoic. It's not the same as the indwelling, forever filling of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be keep being filled. It's not an option, Christian. You can't deny the fact that you need to be filled daily, repeatedly, filled up with the Holy Spirit. He indwells you, but do you let Him have control? The indwelling isn't going anywhere. I kind of picture this. I had met a prof in college who talked about this with gloves. I have a picture of gloves up here on the screen, right? Those gloves are nothing, right? When are those gloves useful? When you've got hands in them. Now, according to this text, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. When are we made alive? When we come to Christ and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, He indwells us, but when we are doing the work that the hands want us to do, we're most alive, right? And see your life as being filled up. Being filled actually means keep being filled, or be being filled, or be being kept filled. It's not an option, it's a mandate. To resist it is direct disobedience. To be filled with the Spirit is to be moved along like a wind in a sail. Like hands in a glove. And Christians can only do what the Holy Spirit directs them, just like a glove can do only what the hand directs. So, here's the question. Look up here, if you can see me. I've got to get over here. Are you willing to be filled up by the Holy Spirit? Fill me up. Fill me up. I hope so. I love what Psalms 119 verse 133 says, order my steps in your word. That's what we should pray. That we would be every day filled up. How do I walk as a torchbearer? How do I walk in the light? How do I be filled with the Spirit? How do I walk in wisdom? Pray about it. I need you to help me every step of the way, Lord. I need you to help me. All right, number four. Look at verse 19 and 20. Everybody there? Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Oh, I didn't think we were going to talk about that verse, Nate. We don't skip over verses. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, if I'm to walk in purity, I must embrace the attitude of being thankful. If we look back from last week, we didn't really touch on this. In verse 4, it says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. He's trying to get a point here. He's trying to get a point about the attitude of gratitude. We have a saying at Harvest, the attitude, I think it's in the screen there, the attitude of gratitude sets the altitude for living. Okay? Your attitude of gratitude sets your altitude for living. Now, can I just be really honest? If you're a teenager or a college student, look up here for a minute. The rest of you can just say amen in just a minute. Do I got you there, teenager in the back? All right. This is an area that you got to work really hard in. Because everybody is grumbling these days. You ask your kids, just get in the driver's side. Why do I get in the driver's side? Why can't I get in the other side? I like sitting behind mom. Whatever, just get in the car. Why is every Sunday, kids, a fight to get here? Because you're complaining that we're driving too slow, or we didn't get a paper, or I didn't get McDonald's this morning, or Dad woke me up too early. Have an attitude of gratitude. It sets the altitude for living. Amen? Some of you adults need to hear that too, but I figured I would deflect that towards the kids. Everything we do should be thankful. Well, that seems a little extreme. Well, I'm just telling you, giving thanks always, that's everything we do. Who are do we give thanks to? What's the text say? Who are we to give thanks to? I heard one person say it, so say it out. God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thankfulness is a natural response to embracing the acts of purity. Embracing the walking in the light, embracing walking in wisdom, embrace being filled by the Spirit. Everything we do we should be thankful for. Can I just really encourage you in this? That none of us deserve the salvation we received. Yet we received it. So let's just start there and start thinking about things that we could be thankful for. And just start thanking the Lord I want you to start doing it because I'm going to ask you to stand up here in just a minute and tell me some things. All right? Don't be silent on me now. Start thinking. I want to get back a verse, though, while you're thinking, and we're just going to talk about what's this mean here about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? Verse 19 says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. All right? You know why it says making melody there, Sean? It's a trick question. Because most of us can't sing harmony. It's a little worship pastor humor. And he's like, yeah, a lot of you can't sing harmony. Yeah. No, that's why it says making melody, because it doesn't tell you what melody it is. Make a joyful noise. Psalms. What are psalms? Speaking to one another in psalms. Psalms are the psalms of David. This is written twice by Paul here, and I believe it's Philippians. He's saying, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Psalms are the psalms of David. That's what they knew. They were blessing when you hear that from other people. Who doesn't like to hear God's word as it blesses them? Listen to this. Psalms 91. I wrote this down. Listen and be blessed by this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield, and you will not fear the terror of the night. Now think. Those are the words I want to hear when I'm going through it. I'm going to say something right now. I don't mean to offend you, but your words mean nothing to me. But when God's word is presented to me in the midst of a trouble, man, that rocks me. When I can look at his word and it says, you are my refuge. In the terror of the night, I am under the shelter of your wings. That is amazing. Again, your words are great, but they're nothing compared to God's words. God's words are a huge comfort. And it's saying here that as I come through life, and my friend Sean here, he's lost it. Everything has gone wrong. My job is to go, you know, this is what's going to happen, Sean. You know, we're going to do this and that. And that means nothing to him. But as believers, I should open up my Bible and say, you know what God's word says? And I should open up Psalms and just start reading the Psalms. And as a believer, that's going to minister to his heart, because he knows that God is ministering through his word to him. These are God's words to help him through this situation. And as believers, we're to be thankful that we have this opportunity to step up and say these things to each other. Now, hymns in this, hymns are songs about the Lord. They're not found in a hymnal. Okay? I just had to get my hymnal hate in there. They're not found in a hymnal. They're ascriptions of praise addressed to God. And I thought, are we supposed to live our life like Les Mis? You know, like, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder how you doing today, I love Jesus. Listen, there are some songs out there, man. There's some songs that they sang today that just really blessed my heart. Arise, let your light shine in. We're going to sing one here at the end of the service, one of my favorites. But where do we addressing each other like that? Where do we just start singing the praises of God when we're together? We should make this really part of our small group time. Let's just start singing a song. A song that ascribes worth to God, because it takes the effort off of us and puts it solely on him. And spiritual songs, that's what we used to call back in the day, choruses. They're less formal songs of worship, but it's all about who we're giving thanks to. Okay? It's not about a mandate of how our services should be, but it's how we address one another. We are to address each other in a spiritual, thankful way, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. The point is, thankfulness to God is what, for what he is doing, is not just a heart attitude, but it looks at the reason why we're rejoicing, why we're singing, and why we're sharing our thankfulness for one another. Church, we're not to be whiners. You know the type. They can make why last forever. Why are we doing this, Pastor Nate? We're not to be crybabies. We're to be celebrating with each other every month what the Lord, every week, every day, what the Lord is doing in our lives. So, who would like to celebrate with all of us this morning in thankfulness for what God has done over the last, let's just say, a month? What God has done? Anyone? Gave him a new job. Amen. We know we've been praying for that. I was cleaning out my office. This is my testimony. I was cleaning out my office, and there's pictures up there from our week of prayer that we had a long time ago with faces and names of people that we were praying for to come to Christ. And I was so thankful to the Lord that there were two faces that he had saved. What else are you thankful for? Is that it, church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, shout it out. What is God doing that you can be thankful for? And praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Everybody said?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. We're all thankful for that. What else? Come on, church. This is our chance to testify to the Lord of the great things he's done. All right. Uncle Josh, Jeremiah's brother is a captain in the army, and he's a helicopter pilot, and he's brought home from Afghanistan. Praise the Lord for that. Yes. Gave us life. Amen. A couple more. Come on. Oh, hey, praise the Lord for that. Graduated nursing school. What else is the Lord doing? Come on, church. Saving lives. One more from this side. Come on. Praise the Lord. Saved his baby girl. And the Lord knows. Listen. We have so much to be thankful for, right? That should just move your spirit right there. Now address each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, being thankful. Lifts your spirit, right, church? All right, so just think, if we have the attitude of gratitude, that will set the altitude for how we live every day. Start with gratefulness and thankfulness. Finally, here we go. If I walk in purity, I must embrace submitting to one another. Pastor Nate said the S word in church. Why did you say submit? Well, there's a couple reasons here. Number one, in all seriousness, men, this is here to show us that submitting isn't just for women. And I didn't write it, God did. So if it's there, I got to say it. It's the dreaded S word. Christians want to come to Christ, but they don't want to submit. But we must submit not only to Christ, but to one another. Now, what does it mean? What does this word submitting mean? Because I think it's lost its effectiveness, because we go straight to obedience. That submitting is obedience. And that we should just be like, submit, submit. That's not what it means. Okay? It's not what the text is saying here. It's to walk with each other in a lowliness of mind. The idea in this text is you before me. Some of you are five times over X smarter than me. But what the scripture says is we are to submit to one another. No matter how brilliant you are, No matter your accolades or how you can outwork everybody, your response is, when walking side by side, you before me. Now, please, don't work that out at the door when we leave, because that'll be really different. You before, you before me. All right, somebody just go. But when given deferential treatment here, you should say, listen, you before me, go. Here's one where we could just learn to submit to one another. Do you ever have somebody tell a story? Or maybe you told the story, and they said, well, that's nothing. And they proceed to try and one-up you on the story. So your mind, you're like, I got to think of a better story than that. Well, that's nothing. This one time, this happened. That's not preferring one another, right? Let them tell their story. Bite your tongue. Go, ha, ha, ha. And then maybe another time you could say, well, this one time this happened, do you remember? Yeah. Now they have to learn to bite their tongue because they're going to want to retell that same story they told you 2 days ago. Do you ever have that that's nothing? I call them the that's nothing stories. Christians are really famous for that's nothing stories. Small groups get really lost in the moment on that's nothing stories, right? You start on the question and next thing you know, you're like, how do we get on YouTube videos? Oh, that's nothing. That's one way of submitting to one another. Obviously, it's never too late. You're never too important to do something for somebody else. There are some really great people in our church that I've met that nothing makes them happier. I think they have the gift of hospitality. Nothing makes them happier than serving. When they don't, they could really just sit back and say, you know, I don't need to do any of that because this is who I am. But they've learned the secret of submitting to one another. If you learn the secret of submitting to one another in the area of purity, wow. You start looking at our brothers and sisters differently in the audience and seeking to help them be pure in their walk with Jesus Christ. If you're to walk in purity like this text is telling us, you must submit to one another. Now listen, this sets the stage for next week. Okay? So, this is the end of the Walk Like series and the beginning of Family Matters. Why? Because family matters. Okay? So, we're going to start next week where we left off this week, wives and husbands, and we'll take wives first and then husbands. Why that way? Because that's how it shows up in the text. All right? And then we'll take children the week after that. And we'll shortly be done with this book. The key to purity, the key to this idea of submission, the key to the next couple weeks, ladies, you can't skip next week, all right? And guys, you can't elbow next week. The key to all this is submitting to one another first. That makes whatever's going to be preached about over the next several weeks easy. Why do we submit to others? What does the text say? Submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. Why do we do it? Not because you want to be a good person. You do it because Christ has asked you to do it. Yeah, you're greater than everybody here, but be the bigger person and submit to one another. All right? So, if I'm to walk in purity, I must avoid the unbiblical and the unwholesome because they have consequences. And I must embrace being a torchbearer. This week, goal number one, here it is. Let your light so shine and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be like a city on a hill. Don't be a light under a basket. Your light shining is you being good when you're supposed to be good, being right when you're supposed to be right. When you do that, you expose the darkness. And when you expose the darkness and you get the question, give them the answer. Why are you so different? Don't tell them it's because you go to church. Tell them because you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He's asked you to be different. And they too could be different and share the gospel with them. Embrace that. Embrace walking in the will of God. embrace walking wise. Don't be drunk by anything, but be filled with the Spirit. Embrace thankfulness. Yes, this week. If you find yourself grumbling, think of 5 things to be thankful for. If you catch somebody grumbling that you really love, tell them to give you 5 things they're supposed to be thankful for. And then submit to one another. Okay? So when someone from church comes up to you and says, hey, can you help me tear down? Don't be beyond that. Okay? All right. Next week, family matters. Let's show out in droves for that. And then we'll quickly come into the end of the book of Ephesians. I'm pretty excited about that. Sean's going to come. Like I said, we're going to sing a song that I've really loved throughout the years. Let's finish this time with a time of worship. Let's sing a spiritual song. Let's embrace what it says. That the light of the world stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes that I could see. Beauty that made my heart adore you. Hope of the world. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. All right? Let's stand. Let's sing that together and then we'll close in prayer. We'll sing all of it through.
Step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am. To worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to pay my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy,
altogether worthy.
Oh, to me,
here I am to worship,
here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy,
altogether.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have so much to be grateful for. We thank you for your love that was poured out in Jesus Christ. And I think of the words of that bridge, I'll never really know the cost until I see you face to face. And I see those nail-pierced hands in the side and your feet. And I think of the cost of my sin placed upon him. Lord, help me to be submissive to your will this week. Help me to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, overflowing. May it be the wind and the sail of my week. But not just mine, Lord. I pray for our church that you would allow us to be light bearers, torch bearers for you. That we would be submissive to one another and the needs of those in our community. That we would be eager to be with one another in our small group time. We would embrace that. God, I pray for the tough things that we've talked about over these last couple weeks. Not embracing immorality, but embracing being filled with your Spirit. Not embracing sexual things that are incorrect for us to be doing in our homes or abroad, but embracing being filled with your Spirit. Not embracing being drunk with wine, but being filled with your Spirit. God, help us to embrace your word this week. Help us to think about our memory verse that we've set before us now this week. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And we thank you that you have loved us through Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to walk in purity, we pray. God, guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Help them to be alive to you, what you would have them to do. May their lights always be on for you. Give them a great week, we pray. And we sing this to you one more time, Lord. Here I am to worship.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am.
This is our prayer, Lord.
You're our God. You're altogether love.
From our hearts, God. You are worthy. You are wonderful. We sing it again.
Yes, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that.
Let that be the cry of our heart, God.
We're all together lovely, all together worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. Amen. You believe that? Say amen. Father, again, thank you. Bless us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. You are loved. Somebody's phone? Was it?